So what we have demonstrated here is a large three-phase data center class UPS. This is a 550 kVA, it's a half a megawatt, integral battery cabinets, and what we're going to talk about here in a moment is this issue that data centers are humongous energy consumers. I don't know if you realize this, but the total percentage of electricity that's consumed by data centers is increasing by double digits every year. I mean, you start looking at these mega data centers, you're talking about data centers with connected loads of 100, 120, maybe even more megawatts. 120 megawatt load. So these things are, there's this push to get more and more efficient, while not giving up the primary role of reliability. I mean, you could make something real efficient, but maybe it's not going to be there for you. Because frankly, one of the reasons why you have inefficiency is because you have redundant equipment. If you have redundant equipment, it's sort of sitting there doing nothing. So by definition, it's consuming energy and not doing anything, so it's inefficient. So it's a balancing act. Well, one of the tricks that we have discovered is this idea of making these devices act like chameleons. So how do you get high reliability when you need it? That's the trick. But go into some sort of a sleep mode when you don't. But design it so that it can come out of sleep mode so quickly that even if the utility power went completely away, the load never sees it. And that's the trick. Because honestly, this was a shock to me, but the server power supplies that are in these high-end data center servers, from the time that you take power off until they start to lose bus voltage, it's not measured in seconds, it's measured in milliseconds. So this thing has to be able to come out of snooze mode, go back to power within milliseconds. And we don't have the side corrector, so we can't do coming out of ESS, or can we? Oh, it was fixed. Okay, so I've been up here forever.
We don't use the SAG gen. I
drop it. Oh, you just drop it out here. You drop it out. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We're
covered. Okay. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to show you a large UPS. We've got the meter up here that's showing how much power is going into it, and what it's going to do is we're going to switch it back and forth between its full power, highest reliability mode, which will start to have to shout because this thing will get loud, and then snooze mode, and then Bree's going to press a little button that's going to simulate a power failure. It's going to come out of that snooze mode, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at the waveforms. We're going to look at the input waveform, we're going to look at the output waveform, and we're going to see how much power we actually lost. And go ahead. We're going to go into full power mode right now. And full power means it's taking the AC in, it's converted it to direct current DC, it's charging up some batteries, and then taking it into an inverter, and then that inverter is feeding the load. So there's basically two transformation steps. There's really three. Oh, we're in bypass right now. Okay. So now we're in what we call ESS mode, which the power is coming from the utility going directly to the loads. And I guess I'm looking at it right there. Oh, it's not online. Okay.
Yeah. No, I was pointing to this because you're talking about the one line.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, you guys can't see it. Yeah, if you want to come around here, little touchscreen display. So you see from the display right here, power is coming through the utility and going to the load. You hear that little buzzing sound? Those are the inverters kicking on. And why can you hear it? Because the carrier frequency is in that 3 kilohertz kind of a range. So now AC's coming in, we're creating DC, we're feeding through. Now we've switched off, now we're feeding the loads through the system. This is what's in all the data centers you know, JP Morgan Chase, Oppenheimer Funds, Fidelity, Visa, Discover, American Express. This is the kind of system that you'll have in there multiplied by hundreds and thousands. That's why we're getting these huge amount of power. Now, we actually don't even have a load connected to the UPS right now, and it's making all this noise. If you look up there, there's a power meter. It says there's 11.4 kilowatts of power doing nothing more than lighting, heating up this room. So we've got, you know, what, 10 hair dryers running in this thing that we're not doing anything useful. Well, do you want to do the, you want to do a fault or? So you're going to do a waveform? You're going to do a waveform? Okay. She's going to show you the waveform in double conversion mode where here's the input and here's the output. And the output is going to be what? Was there an issue? Well, there was probably nothing to trigger. Okay. So again, she's simulating a power failure right now. So there's the input, and now she's going to show you the output. It's like, what? Is there an issue here? But that's what UPSs do. This is double conversion mode now. Noisy, powerful energy. Now what we're going to do is we're going to manually put it into this energy saver mode, because actually the UPS is smart enough to say, I'm not going in energy saver mode. You've got storms in the area. There's power outages. I'm going to stay in this high reliability mode. If things settle down, I'll switch into it. But she's going to force it to go into the high efficiency mode. So it's now bypassed. You hear the buzzing went away? As it starts to cool off, it'll drop down and actually, well, it's already dropped down a ton. It's down to 1 kilowatt. So we've saved 99%, or well, 90 plus percent of the energy just from that. But we're literally powering up the loads, which there aren't any loads, we just this meter, with raw utility power. So you can imagine people were saying, I'm American Express. My downtime is measured in millions of dollars a minute. Are you telling me that I'm going to seeing is believing. Let's come here. So now what we're going to do, I guess, we'll simulate the same power failure. And the trick is, how fast can it get back into the double conversion mode? Because it got to do it in milliseconds. Okay, she just, now you heard it. It fired up. It was basically, it took some energy from the battery for a few moments. Then the rectifier came on. It's now recharging the battery. It's signaling that there's bad voltage. Now the voltage has been confirmed to be good again. But let's see what we saw on the scope. There's our power failure again. Yeah, see what we got up there? We got like a little bit up there, but it's fine. From the power supply, it could be 0 volts for at least a half a cycle, maybe even more before it even cares. So from this point of view, it's like, so think about it. The UPS can be in that sleep mode. It can be saved, you know, 1/10 the standby power, and yet protect as if it was a full double conversion. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. It's got the reliability that your customers are going to demand. And then, frankly, they're getting smarter about how much energy they're paying. The cost of this UPS, its 10-year life cycle, it's like almost doesn't even matter what the UPS costs. A 1% difference in efficiency on UPSs could represent hundreds of thousands of dollars in operating costs. So it's the life cycle, the TCO, that really matters with these things. But again, it doesn't matter how much TCO is. If the thing's not reliable, I don't want it. So You want me to do the air thing also, or okay?
I'll shut this off while you do that.
Okay. Before we leave this room and go back in there and talk about some of the theory. Yeah, you guys come down this way, get out of the noise. If you look at data center design, they measure the efficiency of a data center with a metric called PUE, power utilization effectiveness. What is that? Well, it's a ratio that says in the numerator, tell me the total amount of power that's going in the data center, which would include the servers, but it also includes the air conditioning, the lighting, the fire alarm system. Basically, anything and everything that is in the building goes into the numerator. In the denominator, you just have your IT load. So, in the perfect world, you would have no other loads in your data center except IT. So you'd have IT divided by IT, so the best PUE you can possibly get is a 1. A typical data center is close to 2. Now, state-of-the-art data centers are not, but, you know, how do you measure PUE? How does a data center operator even know what their PUE is? Well, they have to have meters on every single one of these loads, because if all they're measuring is the power coming in the building, well, that's the numerator, but what's my denominator? They don't know. When we started doing PUE calculations at our old data center down in Pittsburgh, we showed this to the facilities guys, and we were close to 3. Think about that. What that basically says is that for every watt of heat that we generated, we needed 2 watts to move it out. That's a pretty bad mechanical conversion efficiency. I mean, the best case, if you look at the theoretical heat pump conversion cycle, I should be able to, in best case, get about 3.8 watts of heat transferred for every watt of power I put into the heat pump. Well, we were going the other way. For every watt, we were taking 2 watts. So instead of a third of a watt, we were taking 3. So we were like 6 times less efficient. It was horrible. But there was no visibility. They didn't have the metering. They didn't have it submetered to the point where they could see it. Cooling turned out to be the issue. We were massively overcooling that data center. I mean, literally, you could lift up the raised floor. You could put a 6-pack under the floor, and it would have been kept chilled. Well, how do you know if you're overcooling your data center? Well, inside these devices, in fact, I think we could probably show. Yeah, let's come up here. Yeah, come on in here. So you see this right here? In a data center, you have, I mean, we have panel boards and switchboards in, you know, hospitals. In data centers, panel boards and switchboards are called PDUs, power distribution units. This is an enclosure PDU. We call it an EPDU. But what PDUs do is they distribute power. So there's a cable coming in from, you might have 60 amps or something like that on that cable, and then you distribute it to the multiple individual loads. But just like that's a PDU behind you there, you also have submetering. So each one of these servers is fed from a power cord, and then there's metering inside of each one of those. You can also get switching. You can turn them on and off, which in the modern data centers, these servers, it used to be, this one server was the email server for Europe, and this was the server for payroll, and this was the server for manufacturing. Well, that's not the way it works anymore. What the way the IT people work today is you have a cluster of servers, and then each one of them has, Windows or whatever running on them, but then you have another operating system on top of that that virtualizes the environment. So then when you say, I got to run the payroll calculation or whatever, you do that inside the VM, the virtual machine, and the virtual machine figures out what the most efficient use of compute resources is. Because it turns out, just like power supplies, if you are running a system and you're not putting any load on it, that's wasteful. If you're running a server and it's not doing anything, that's wasteful. So they've come up with a system that they can basically power down or remove load. They don't power them down, they just remove load. Well, we have a system where we could power it down. We could actually send a signal through, I don't even see the Ethernet cable on this one, but there's a network connection to these PDUs that can again go into they have what they call a network operations center or a NOC, and then they can make a decision to shut off that server completely and save power. But I heard somebody say hot aisle. This is a kind of a sort of a hot aisle in that. There's not. It's a demonstration of the concept. But all servers, no matter who you buy it from, always pull cold air in from the front and blow hot air out in the back. So when you're installing these things, the back end is hot. So what we'll do is we'll capture this. That right there can save 30% off the total building energy right there, because in the old days you had the perforated tile blowing cold air up, and the cold air got sucked in the front, but some of it went back to. Oh, by the way, the way data centers are cooled, as you probably know, is there's a thing called a crack, a computer room air conditioner, that basically sucks down the heat from the ceiling and pressurized cold air into the plenum, into the floor. Well, so the hot air rises. How does it, you know, it eventually gets back there. Well, that's not so efficient. So you'll see designs that put air ducts in, kind of like almost like arc resistant switchgear plenums. But this is a hot aisle containment design. You can also see cold aisle containment, where you're walking in and you would be looking at all the servers. They both will work. One issue is that where are your people going to be in there? And they're mostly going to be in the front of the unit, so it's more pleasant, because honestly, the back end of these things, if this was a really a hot aisle, this could be over 100 degrees back in here. And in fact, ASHRAE has released new standards for server operating temperatures and humidities. And it used to be you walk into a data center and it was chilly. You know, you'd see people in there wearing jackets. Well, now ASHRAE is talking about having 80 degree cold aisles. So you can imagine what the hot aisle is. And in fact, this, we had to redesign all of our EPDUs because they're in that airstream and they were burning up. So as ASHRAE raised the temperatures, our meters were failing. So we had to go to I forgot what the new name is, but it's the next generation EPDU. So if you're dealing with an ASHRAE new design, make sure you don't use the old EDU, use the new EPDU. So I guess that's about it. That's the huge, big data center server power supply. This one you can't really see, but there are also rack UPSs. So instead of putting the UPS in a separate location, they're actually right here. I'm sort of on the fence about that. In this design, it's pretty good because it's just like a server. It's pulling cold from the front and blowing it back, but it's not as isolated as those. And so if this is a hot aisle, so it's pushing hot air into a hot aisle, so there's a reduction in efficiency. And especially these things also typically contain batteries, and batteries don't like high temperature. So, but it's available if someone wants to put a rack mounted UPS.
Going to like DC data centers using like a microturbine or something to.
We have. We're part of an organization called the Green Grid, which is a consortia of people like Microsoft and Google and HP and IBM, and we're looking very strongly at that. As you probably know, the power supply in a server can run on DC as easily as it can AC. The issue right now is arc flash.
Right. Yeah.
The connectors are not designed because all those connectors have a different shape. You know, the 20 amp connector looks this way, and then there's, you know, well, that's not a DC connector. So even though it technically could be powered by DC, it's, you know, so there's a lot of those kinds of issues that still have to be worked out. But
Does it mean you would be like isolated from the grid that way? So I see some advantages.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, all servers have DC to DC power supplies anyway.
Right.
You feed them on 12 volts, and then they convert it to whatever they need. Mm-hmm. Well, let's head back in.
One of our clients, PGW, we designed the microturbine for them a couple years ago, and when they were redoing their putting in a new data center, they wanted to use that at first, and then they were just having so many issues with the microturbine. They were like,
it's not reliable.
It wasn't
enough.
Reliable. If it was running how it should,
yeah,
it would have been probably
Well, I mean, as a peaker, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Not as baseload. So data centers, as I said, we got a lot of room to improve. Did you know that right now, not only do they consume a huge amount of power, and they're consuming more and more every year, but when you look at the kind of the energy balance equation, if you burn a lump of coal and then you power up a server, only 3% of the energy that was in that coal actually gets to the data center. So the comment about putting microturbines or fuel cells or solar, you know, trying to increase that conversion efficiency, because right now it's not only consuming a huge amount of power, it's very inefficient. So that's kind of the impetus behind it. But if you get involved in data center design, what you really quickly learn is it's not just about power. If you're talking to a data center owner, maybe that's what we care about, because we're sort of electrical folks, but they've got this huge list of problems and issues that they have to deal with. Actually, this is an interesting chart. This is a chart from Google when they build a data center, and what are the things that they think about? What do they have to deal with to make sure that that data center gets started up without a hitch? It's public information. This is not secret information. It was shared through the Green Grid, which is a consortia of data center folks. Some of those calls are interesting because NSA is part of the Green Grid, and you know, who knows? I think some of the biggest data centers in the world are probably, you know, theirs, but they would never say. But when you get right down to it, what can we do? What can you do to make these problems go away? And basically, it boils down to improving the efficiency, which would include the total cost of ownership. big deal. Improving reliability, because you recognize that little comment I made earlier about leading power factor causing the generators to mess up. Who would know that? If you're not, let's say you're just a person on the street, and honestly, a lot of these data center folks are not electrical engineers. I mean, you talk to a lot of these guys, and maybe they're cooling experts, or maybe they're IT people, but you start talking about harmonics and notching and leading power factor, and they're looking at you like, what are you, what they'll do is they'll turn to you or to their design build contractor or somebody, because we got to make sure that we recognize that this is a reliability story, which is a system of parts. And then the other thing is reduce the startup time, cost, and improve scalability. The issue there is containerization. What you're starting to see now is nobody builds stick-built, well, you still build stick-built. Google still builds stick-built data centers. But you're starting to see these modular designs come in. And what does that do? Well, just some basic stuff here. IEC 62043, you'll see these terminology. I mean, I came up from the world where I was taught about standby UPS, line interactive UPS, double conversion UPS, online UPS. But in the standards world, that's not how they describe them. What they describe them as is VFDs, which unfortunately sounds like something else, but voltage frequency dependent, meaning that whatever the output is completely dependent on the input. It has no ability to convert the voltage or the frequency. Well, what does that sound like? Well, we call those standby UPSs. There's a battery charger, a battery, an inverter, but the inverter never runs unless the voltage goes away. Then there's the voltage independent. This gives you stable voltage, but doesn't do anything with the frequency. Well, what does that sound like? That sounds like the old line interactive, where you have a inductor, and then you have a current source that injects current to kind of compensate for the voltage, either pulls voltage down, pushes voltage up. And then the VFI, the voltage on the primary, the frequency on the primary, voltage on the secondary, well, primary, secondary. The input, the output, they can be completely different. What does that sound like? That sounds like the online double conversion UPS. The trick with this stuff here is that this, in the old days, this is you bought one of these and you were stuck with it. You got a VFI, you got a VFD, you got a VI. But EPRI did a study and they determined that basically over 99.9% of the time, you could easily connect the servers to the power grid and there's no problem. The problem is you don't know when that tenth of a percent is going to occur. So to cover your bases, you put in the UPS. But Energy Star got involved and they said, yeah, but 99.9% of the time, isn't there a way that you could somehow go to multi-mode? You could go to a high efficiency mode, which is what we just demonstrated. And obviously, you know, I'm sort of showing you the demo before I'm telling you the why we're doing it. But EPA came back and said, could you do that? And we said, yeah, we could. We could take that VFD and we could switch it to VFI. In other words, voltage frequency dependent and make it a voltage frequency independent. We could switch for a tenth of a time, for a tenth of a percent of the time, we could switch to the high protective mode. And if we could do it fast enough, 99.9% of the time we're sitting in the high efficiency mode and we could save tons of energy, tons of energy. Maybe a picture, pictures are worth a thousand words. This is the topology of the standby UPS. This is the VFD, the voltage frequency dependent. So 99.9% of the time, the juice comes from the left little dot and goes to the right side. This is a picture from the green grid. When you have an outage, you suck power out of the battery and you feed it into the inverter. But you never have a situation where power is fed through the DC rectifier, through the inverter, and feed it to the load. That's not what these things do. They're dumber than that. The line interactive, or what they call voltage independent, this is what the schematic looks like there. You have an inductor in series with that bypass path, and then you have a current source that pushes or pulls current, either dumps it into the battery or pushes it up, and you can modulate the frequency or the voltage. And then, of course, the full-blown online UPS or the VFI UPS has a static bypass only used if the thing fails. Well, what we did was we said, wait a minute. That static bypass is really fast. It's a solid-state switch. Is it possible to have it 99.9% of the time on bypass mode, and then only that 1%, 1/10 of 1% of the time switched on? Well, the answer is yes, assuming you can get this guy online feeding power within whatever that time window is. And I'll tell you right now, that time window is just a couple of milliseconds. So that became the trick. You know what the enabling technology was that allowed us to finally do this? The old-fashioned UPSs, these are electronic devices, so they're sort of sensitive. The old-fashioned UPS, you typically saw transformers. So there was power electronics, and then it fed an isolation transformer, fed the load. Well, remember the rule about switching currents through an inductor? You can't do it instantaneously. So you had to charge the magnetic field of this inductor before you got any current on the secondary side of the transformer. Well, by the time we did that, the load had dropped. So this had to be a transformerless design. For this to even have any chance of flying, you had to take all transformers out of the circuit. Well, think about the history. People have been using transformers to isolate these critical power electronics devices forever, and they thought, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, is there a problem with grounding? I don't know. So we had to go through a lot of the scenarios to prove that. But now this is well-accepted technology. The largest data centers in the world are using this kind of technology. But that was the secret. Now, be a little careful. I will say this. You will hear people talk about eco mode UPSs, which is kind of the same thing. It's all about how fast you can switch. It's just like arms. There are people who say, I have arms, but it's nothing more than disabled ZSI. There are people who say, I have multi-mode UPS, but it takes 12 milliseconds to switch. Well, I'm telling you, 12 milliseconds in the UPS world is essentially forever. So you do it, they can do it, but then you drop servers. And I'll show you some interesting, I'm gonna share with you some somewhat private information. I've kind of anonymized it, but there's some testing going on right now with server vendors and server power supplies to see what their real performance is. You know, we're talking 10 milliseconds, 12 milliseconds. what's the real answer? So there's a lot of consortia, and it's being done by, it's called the ACDC Task Force. Used to be part of an organization called Climate Savers, part of an organization, which is part of, now Climate Savers has been absorbed by the Green Grid. We're all doing this testing, but it's really interesting what we're seeing. But switching to a multimode UPS, that's one thing that you can do. Another thing that you can do to help your clients out is tell them to go to higher voltages. You know, you can buy a server now that has a power supply that runs on 400 volts or 277 volts. Another purpose, I didn't mention this, for the PDU was that's a 480 volt UPS. The servers typically run on 120 volts in the United States, maybe 208, maybe 240 volts. So the PDU has a transformer. Well, transformers are efficient, but they're not perfectly efficient. And if you're trying to improve efficiency, why don't you get rid of the transformer? So one of the things that you can tell your clients now is you can buy a power supply that'll run on 277 volts. You can take 480 and take line to neutral and feed it right into the power supply. And if that's a little bit extreme, there's a lot of people doing the European thing where 400 volt Y, 230, or 415 Y, 240. Those servers will run off the shelf at 240 volts day and night. They don't care how you're getting it. You're giving it to them as a line to neutral voltage, but now there's no transformer. Another thing to consider, if you have a high availability customer, they might have a dual corded server. Well, recommend that one half of that go directly to raw power. You know, have half of it go through a full blown, you know, high efficiency UPS, but the other side, don't put any UPS. Now, that's heresy talking from a UPS manufacturer, but, you know, let's save some energy. You'll hear the term free power quality mentioned in the industry now. There was a term earlier called free cooling. If you look at a lot of the data centers that are being designed, they're being designed on the north shore of Belgium, you know, right on the North Sea, where you open up the window. You don't need air conditioning. It's freezing cold coming in there. Well, that's free cooling. And so you can get your PUEs down, because remember, the total energy consumed in the data center is the cooling load. Well, if you have no cooling. Well, the concept is there an equivalent free power quality where I can plug a data center into a grid that's so reliable that it doesn't need UPS? And so that's some of the work that's going on right now. And the answer is yeah. Some of the biggest data centers are connected to the transmission grid. Now, the transmission grid goes down like in 2003 when the Northeast blackout occurs, but otherwise, you know, squirrels, I mean, it's so reliable. So that's free power quality. And then use those eco modes, but just be careful. Make sure that be the voice of reason. Say, yes, you can use that, but make sure that whatever you choose coordinates not only with the server, but also some people use these static transfer switches that are, if you have a single corded server, you know, there's only one power supply, but you want to get power from the A and the B bus, well, it switches back and forth. Some of those things switch, slow, maybe 10 milliseconds. So if they're waiting 10 milliseconds before they switch and the UPS can't give you power, there could be a race condition. You've just got to be careful. So just to throw it up there. Here's an interesting calculation to show you how much energy you would save if you did get rid of the transformers. You know, here's a typical system, 480 volts in, 120/208 out, and you got a transformer inside of a PDU. Well, that, you know, so if you start with 100%, and let's say that your UPS is 92% efficient, which that's a pretty bad UPS, but let's say you have 92% efficient UPS, you got 2% loss right there. I'd like to get rid of that 2% loss. So instead of having a 16% loss, I would have a more efficient system by going to higher efficiency systems. So this right here, 99% efficiency, would be typical of what you saw out there, where you switch to bypass. So I've got 4% more. So it seems like a real win-win. You know, I have lower capital investment, have higher efficiency, what's the downside? Well, one of the downsides is you've taken the transformer out of there, so I've taken impedance out of the circuit. When I take impedance out of the circuit, what happens to my available fault currents? So, not a big deal. Typically, the breakers that are inside these PDUs are not, you know, residential 10KA breakers, so they can take it. But arc flash. Have you ever seen the people that work inside of a data center? You know, they're wearing Grateful Dead t-shirts and skateboards inside the data center or scooters. Do you think they know anything about arc flash? Now, they're being trained. They're coming up to speed real fast, especially the majors. But the IT people who work in these racks, if they were living in the 120 volt world, I mean, what do? We yank cords out by the you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. When you start messing with 400 volts and you start unplugging 400 volt plugs, it's a different world. So there's some of those issues. But assuming that you've got the training in place to deal with that, it turns out that the savings are substantial. If you convert that 4% savings into dollars, for example, and let's just do it on a 1 megawatt base load, how much energy in dollars would you save by improving the efficiency of your data center by 4%? Get rid of the PDU transformers. Well, pick some numbers. 10 cents a kilowatt hour, $12 a kilowatt. Some places are higher, some places are lower. And that's a data center, it's running 24/7. And so you can calculate how many megawatts that is, megawatt hours, and it's a lot. And so you start saying 4% savings turns out to be $36,000 a year, which over 10 years with a net present value of 5% cost of money. So obviously 10 times 36,000 would be $360,000, but future money isn't. If you're making an investment today for a savings tomorrow, the savings you get tomorrow is not as valuable as it is today. That's why lottery winners, you know, anyway, you guys know time value of money. So at 5% discounted rate, it's $277,000. If you look at the how you came to that, you know, the 208Y system, 76% efficient. That means there's on a 1 megawatt data center, you know, it's 24% inefficient, so it's 240 kilowatts. Energy loss times 8760 is 2.1 megawatt hours. Times 10 cents a kilowatt hour, it's 210. And then you're saving 240 kilowatts times $12 times 12 months a year, that's 35,000. The 400 volt system costs this much. The delta between those two is 30,000 plus 6,000, 36,000. Well, 200, I'll tell you right now, you have reduced your capital investment because you didn't need those expensive PDUs, and you're being a check is being written to you for the tune of $36,000 a year. This is something that, you know, people are looking at. The terminology we use for this, echo mode in our lingo, is called energy saver system. That quiet, noisy switch was, you went to bypass, you came out of bypass. There's another mode, because some people came to us and said, have you considered this one thing? And we hadn't, so this was very interesting. When you have switched a server power supply and you've connected it directly to the utility, that server power supply, remember the harmonics is producing, and remember that leading power factor is producing? You're pumping that back up on the bus. I remember I told you the generator has problems with that. If the UPS was in the path, the UPS is a unity power factor load to the generator, and it's at least modern UPSs are. But when you go to the bypass, you're just connecting whatever's downstream, and some of those things are pretty nasty looking loads. So they said, I don't know that I can go with this energy saver system. So we came up with this design, which is kind of cool, I think. Remember Dan showing you the active harmonic filter where you turn the thing on and the harmonics went away? Well, what is that? All that is it's analyzing the wave shape, the voltage wave shape on that bus, and it's calculating what it would take to either inject or consume power to smooth that waveform out. So what we did was we said, why don't we just turn on the inverter and do the same thing? So there's this ESS plus mode, which is the harmonic correction. So now what you have is a situation where you can go to bypass, but it will inject harmonics to clean out those harmonics. No such thing as a free lunch. You've now activated an inverter that was no longer activated, so you only get about half the savings that you did otherwise, but it takes care of the harmonics. And if you have a problem, you can't synchronize your generator, you're willing to, you know, deal with that. So that's another one. There's another mode, which I didn't show you out there, which I won't say is the best of both worlds, but it's a having your cake and eating it too. If I operate in double conversion mode, which we all agree is the most secure and the most reliable, but it also is the most inefficient. Well, these new UPSs are made up of modules inside them themselves. You buy a 1 megawatt UPS, it's not like a 1 megawatt transistor in there. It's lots of parallel paths. Well, turn some of them on, turn some of them off. We showed you the ESS system. I can switch on and off in milliseconds. Think about granularity going down into the individual transistorized switches inside that unit. So however many modules you have, I could switch individual modules. Not the whole thing on and off. I can still do that. That's ESS. But I could switch parts of it off, and that's this VMMS. So that's a pretty cool thing. But again, your clients are not going to really care about how much energy you save if you design a system that's less reliable. So you want to talk about that. I talked about the issue of virtualized environments. Your customers are looking at that. Make sure you mention this issue about tolerance to leading power factors. I'll tell you right now, the largest, I'll be vague, but I won't be vague. I'll be funny. A particular vendor of a popular operating system that I happen to be running on this computer right here, that's building data centers like there's no tomorrow, did not know about that issue with leading power factor. You know, you spend, I forgot what they spent on, they built a data center up in the eastern Washington state, and it was hundreds of millions of dollars. And they had that problem. They had leading power factor. And they were scrambling around. So this will probably be new news to most of your customers, especially your smaller ones. You go to a hospital, you talk to the IT guy, this is not going to be something on their radar. Make sure they're aware of it. Also, you're going to want to talk to them about digital rotary UPS. Digital rotary UPS is a technology that instead of storing energy in a chemical battery, you store it in a flywheel. And the flywheel has kinetic energy, and it's on magnetic bearings, and it's typically in a vacuum enclosure, so it's pretty low losses. It's a pretty good design. You don't have to worry about changing out the batteries every 5 years. So, good thing. You're going to want to look into some of these designs. There's been some famous problems. So, just take a look at that. And I promised you the pictures of the servers tolerating 0 volts. So this is, you may have heard of there's this thing called the SEBEMA curve, Computer Business Equipment Manufacturers Association, or the ITIC curve, Information Technology Industry Council curve. Both of those curves are considered obsolete in the industry, which was news to me a couple years ago. We were talking to Dell. Oh, man, I shouldn't mention names. We were talking to a server manufacturer, and he said, we don't design to that. I was like, that's good to know, because we were designing backup power systems expecting that that's what you could tolerate. Specifically, the SEBEMA curve said that they could tolerate 200 or 20 milliseconds of outage. Modern servers can tolerate 10 milliseconds. And in fact, here's some interesting pictures. Here's a scope trace. We've anonymized names have been changed to protect the guilty, but the vertical dots, which you can't see on that picture at all, but this is a 20 millisecond forced outage. We've created an outage that was 20 milliseconds. That's the voltage waveform up there. This is the current waveform. So you see the power supply is basically operating at unity power factor. We switch off the current. The DC bus voltage, which is this purplish line, stays good for about 16 milliseconds, or not, sorry, about 12 milliseconds, and then it drops. And then what's really interesting is, look, it starts coming back even before the voltage comes back. And I have some pictures that describe that, but we don't have enough time to go into that. But about 12 milliseconds, that's all she wrote. Now, this is fully loaded. One of the issues is in the old days, people, remember I told you they put the Europe email server on this server and they put the payroll on this one, and computers were not fully loaded. Today they are, because of the virtualized environments. If I only half load that power supply, it performs like a champ. Same power supply, half loaded, this thing runs for 40 milliseconds, so which in CPU terms is forever. Another interesting thing, though, is that green line there is the power OK signal. This is one of these little side things we're learning from these tests. Different power supplies. Some server power supplies, this drops as soon as the AC goes away. Some of them, it drops when the DC goes away, but I kind of look at that as sort of like a radar detector that goes off when the officer's writing out the ticket. I mean, you've lost power, so sending a signal to me to say that I'm dying is not helping me at all. But some of them do that. And some of them, like this one, I think they put it on a pull-up resistor. They don't even, it doesn't do anything. So, which is really interesting to me as a systems integrator. But this kind of information is very important, because when we're designing one of these systems that's switching between modes, we need to know how fast we can switch. And because what we're trying to do is we're trying to do this trade-off between efficiency and reliability. And we can make a better tuned system by reducing redundancy, frankly, to improve efficiency. And there's lots of different things we can do. Here's an example with 440 kilovolt amperes. And here we've shown, with all redundancy turned off, it's all modules are on. VMMS stands for Variable Modular Management System. Inside the UPS, I told you there's different little modules. Forget it. We're turning everybody on. And in an A and B bus system, we've got all kinds of redundancy, because each one of these modules might be rated for 220 kilovolt amperes by itself. So we've got six times redundancy. And consequently, we have a pretty bad efficiency. But what you can do with these technologies is you can say, trade-off, efficiency, reliability. I'll switch off some of the modules. I will have still four times redundancy, but now I'm bumped my efficiency up to 92.8, or switch off so I only have two times redundancy and 94.3%. As you saw earlier, that can convert into tens of thousands of dollars a year for you. And then this is what it looks like on the efficiency versus load. So as you're sliding up and down the load, you know, your virtualization system is putting loads on the server, taking loads off the server. The UPS all by itself is switching on and off these modules, and you can see the efficiency kicks in and out. If I kept all the modules on all the time, when I'm down here in the low load, it's a pretty bad efficiency, because as a function of the ratio of the power, what is efficiency? It's output power, input power. My output power is low, my input power is, my standby losses are essentially constant, so my efficiency drops very dramatically. But by switching these things on and off, it's like changing gears in a car, I can always stay at the high efficiency. So that's sort of the what do you want to call it? ESS is all or nothing. You've switched the entire UPS offline, and now you're operating on grid power. We can switch back fast enough, fine. This, we only switch off what we need, and we leave this redundancy in. So it's some people think it's a little bit safer, a little more, makes me sleep better at night. But anyway, that's what that's all about. So I've run out of time yet again. So I mean, there's only so much I could, you know. I'm actually a student right now, believe it or not. I'm at the University of Pittsburgh, and so I fully appreciate sitting in 3-hour classes, and at the end of the 3-hour class, it's like, so I'm with you. But Doug, I guess now we are kind of at the end of my presentation.
Okay. All right. Thanks. We got some building here.